Good morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This morning, our reading for the sermon for our time together is from 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 3. So if you have your scriptures in front of you and want to open up, that is 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. So it'll take me just a minute here to find it, and hopefully you're looking as well. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So when it comes to faith in this Easter season, there's a lot that remains to be seen. That seems to be a phrase that's talked about a lot lately, that there are lots of things that remain to be seen. When will the economy get back to its normal way? Well, that remains to be seen. When will we be able to gather again as a large group or as a church family or as a regular family? That remains to be seen. When will all of this pass over and then we'll be on to our next thing? That remains to be seen. There's so much that remains to be seen, and yet we're living day to day in this world around us with so many unanswered questions. And for Peter, who is writing this letter, there is still some things that remain to be seen. But there are so many other things that we can, as Christians, hold on to, grab onto, have trust and faith in, no matter what the circumstances around us look like. And so I want to talk a little bit about those things today. What are the things that we can be sure of? What are the things that we see with our eyes that we know we can trust in? And that remains to be seen, right? Because there are so many things that just don't seem to add up or make sense. And it's only through eyes of faith, through the gift of faith that God gives us, that we can see anything at all. And one of the most important things that we see in Peter and in his writings is the incredible gift that everything associated with faith is. Faith itself is a gift. Trust is a gift. Mercy is a gift. Grace is a gift. Love is a gift. It's all gift. It's all something given to us by our Heavenly Father. It's nothing that we've earned or deserve or have worked for or have strived for or have won on our own, our merits or our achievements. Everything that we have from the Heavenly Father is gift. And there's no other way to see it. There's no other way that it makes sense in terms of faith. It's all a gift. And here Peter talks about the gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ. And that gift is a life that is eternal, a life that is imperishable, a life that doesn't fade away. And he says we've been given this incredible gift that is in verse 3. He says, we, through God's mercy, he has caused us to be born again. That's a phrase we hear a lot in our evangelical circles. People talk about being born again all the time, and but it means different things to different people. If we look at the way that Peter is using it, He says that we have been re-begotten, not born in the physical sense. Obviously, that's the discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus, that it doesn't make sense to talk about being born again in the physical sense. That's impossible. But what Peter is talking about is being re-begotten. We have been begotten again. The first time we were begotten, just to be sure that we're understanding what this word is, the first time that we were begotten is when we were physically born to parents. And whether that was a father and mother, or we were born to a single mother, or doesn't matter, none of those qualifications matter. We've simply been begotten of our earthly father, begotten of our earthly mother. And Peter here is talking about being re-begotten, not physically reborn, but re-begotten. In other words, you've been given a new family. Not that there was something wrong with your old one. All families have their struggles, and some are monumentally dysfunctional, and some are mildly dysfunctional, and some are, you know, leave it to beaver, perfect. Regardless of that, because of Jesus Christ, because of his resurrection, we have been given a new family, a new father who has re-begotten us through Jesus Christ. That's an important distinction, because Jesus was not re-begotten. Jesus was begotten of the Father before all worlds. We confess that in the Nicene Creed. But when Jesus died and rose again, as we proclaim the risen Christ, he wasn't re-begotten. He wasn't given a new heavenly father or a new heavenly family. He was made re-alive. And that sounds weird to say. We always say he was risen or resurrected, but Jesus was made re-alive. He was alive, then he died, then he was made re-alive. He wasn't resuscitated. You know, they didn't perform some sort of CPR on him. He wasn't reincarnated, like he was, you know, came back as something else. And he wasn't revived, as if he'd passed out and, you know, somebody waved those smelling salts under his nose and he suddenly woke up again. He was made re-alive. He had died 3 days and was made re-alive. And because Christ was made re-alive or alive again, we have been given this gift, this re-begottenness. In our baptisms, we are wrapped up with Christ. In our baptisms, we are combined. That's a weird word. That's not the right word. We are wrapped up in him. We are made one with Christ in his death and resurrection, in his death and being made re-alive. We have been made re-begotten. We have been given the gift of a new family, a new heavenly father. And so we live in that. And that's what Peter says. We are living in that hope of that re-begottenness. We are living in the hope, he says, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. See, the original begottenness is faulty. That first begottenness that you have through your earthly father and your earthly mother, again, regardless of your relationship with them, that begottenness is faulty. Because it's begotten into a world of sin and a world of sadness and a world that's corrupted by evil, that begottenness, that original begottenness, earthly begottenness, is faulty. It's fading. It's like when you leave something out in the sun and the color fades away. That's sort of the way that this original begottenness is. It's faulty. We have things that break and things that go wrong and relationships that struggle, viruses that take over the world and, you know, leave us all in that remains to be seen time. That's the begottenness, the original. This re-begottenness that we have, this new begottenness that we have, Peter says is imperishable. It's not going to be destroyed. It's unfading. It won't be affected by time. And it's undefiled, meaning that sin has no place in it. Evil has no place in this new begottenness that we have, in this new family. But Peter says, before we jump to that, there's still something that remains to be seen of this new begottenness. This re-begottenness, there's a part of it that we haven't seen yet, and we won't see yet, because he says it's being kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That's the remains to be seen, the fullness of our salvation, the fullness of that re-begotten life. That's what remains to be seen. We don't know how that's all going to look. And it's not that we're saying, well, maybe we're going to have it, perhaps we'll have it, maybe we won't, we're not sure. This faith stuff is kind of wishy-washy, we're not exactly sure what it's going to do. That's not what Peter's saying. He's saying that you can be sure that this re-begottenness, this new family, through the re-aliveness, I'm making up words today, the re-aliveness of Jesus, is something that has a part that remains to be seen, but it is sure because it's being kept in heaven for you by God's power. And if it's being kept in heaven by God's power, then nothing can take it away. That's why the imperishable, unfading, undefiled, because it's God who's protecting it. It's God who's saving it. It's God who is in control of it. And when we know that it's in his hands, we don't worry about it. There's no better place for it to be. If it had been left to us, we would have messed it up. We would have broken it. We would have left it sitting on a shelf somewhere. We would have left it in the car and had it, you know, stolen or something. We would have done something to the salvation that would have made it faulty. But because it's being held by Christ, being held by God in his power, then we can rejoice in that. Even though it remains to be seen, it's still something we can be sure of. And Peter says, yes, there is still life on this earth that is going to be struggles. He says, now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. We've been grieved by various trials. As a pastor, I admitted this morning to myself and to someone I trust that doing this telepastoring is really hard. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just saying that we all are experiencing this. I honestly struggle with the camera stuff. I'd much rather do this face to face. And it's hard. I'm being grieved for a little while because of the trials that are around. And I know, yes, it's not going to last forever. Thank goodness. It's not going to last forever. But right now it's tough. And your situation, no matter what it is, it's tough, it's different, it's hard. There are things that we're doing or not doing that have been regular parts of our life that we're struggling with, and we all are. It looks different in your home than it does in mine, but it's still a struggle. So I want you to know that I hear that. I know that. I realize that in reading scripture, you realize, even Peter realized, there were going to be times in the life of those who have been re-begotten that it was going to be hard. It was going to be a challenge. But he says, you know, in the midst of that challenge, our faith, that gift of faith that we've been given, is being renewed, being tested to see that it's genuine, that this re-begotten life is one that's going to stand the test of time and trial. And it will. And it will, because I know that, because it's not up to me to make it stand. It's up to God. And when he does that, it's done. It's taken care of. And so the result is, as Peter says, praise and glory and honor at the revealing of Jesus Christ. So when all that remains to be seen becomes seeable, then we who have been re-begotten through the re-aliving of Christ will live eternally in praise and honor and glory with the Father. Let me try and say that again. When all that remains to be seen is made seeable, we who have been re-begotten through the re-aliving of Jesus will live eternally in praise and honor and glory with the Father. That's pretty incredible to think about. That even the stuff that remains to be seen will be pure and joyful gift that God gives us. And that through the gifts He has already given us, this re-begottenness, through that gift that we've already received, He is going to give gift upon gift of eternity and praise. That's what remains to be seen. We can do our best now to live it out as much as we can, and that's what I hope we do. That I hope that even in the midst of these trials, we are still living in that faith. We're not waiting for it to sort of come to fruition. We already live as though it has. We already live as though our faith has already come to fruition, has already been culminated in our salvation, has already been given as the pure and undefiled gift through the re-begottenness that we've received, through the re-aliving of Jesus. Now, you might have to play this a couple of times. I'm a little trying to figure it out in my head as I'm sharing it. But this is the gift of Christ, the gift of Easter. And Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And we have been re-begotten through Christ, who has been made re-alive. And we receive that through faith as a gift in hope and sure and certain confidence of an eternity that remains to be seen. That's the gift. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.